Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock today, we will check in with Titans general manager John Robinson and get his thoughts after the NFL virtual draft. Now we're going to get the thoughts of Emory Hunt, who is the owner of Football Game Plan, and we enjoy our conversations with him, and he now joins us on the program. Emory, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. So let's kind of get into what we tend to do on Mondays after the draft. Let's get into some winners and some losers. We were just looking at the so-called Vegas odds of who they believe are the big winners and the big losers after the draft. So let's start with the winners. Who jumps out to you of, who did really well this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
Well, full disclosure, I usually don't give grades right away because I like to include the undrafted free agents in my grades because that's how you really round out the draft class. Case in point, you look at the Titans last year with Kareem Orr and also Derek Roberson, two guys I was really high on, and also Isaiah Matt that no one knew anything about, but to me, I included that in the draft grade, which is why I graded the Titans grade really high last year. So that's the full disclosure statement. But I thought the Raiders did a fantastic job acquiring talent in the draft. The receiver they were able to grab, you think about adding Arnett. I was a big fan of his game. I thought they knocked it out the park. The only pick I didn't really agree with was the Tanner Muse pick. But outside of that, I thought they did a great job just upgrading the talent on that roster.
Hmm. John Lynch seems to be very comfortable in his GM role. I thought the 49ers were certainly the most active team in the draft. Would you agree?
Yeah, they were active. And, you know, when you look at some of the selections they made, you know, when I look at what they did, I think a lot of it was specific to fit more so than acquiring talent. That would explain the Brandon Ayuk selection. They obviously see a fit for him because if it was about which receiver would you prefer or, you know, which receiver do you have graded higher? I think there were some other receivers that were a little bit better, in my opinion, much more consistent than Brandon Ayuk. But if you look at it from the scope of, man, we need him to do one thing, and the one thing will be run after catch, and we're going to find ways just to put the ball in his hands, then, yeah, it makes sense. But I thought theirs was more along the lines of fit our team-specific need, kind of like how the Patriots draft, but when I look at just acquiring talent, because usually the most talented team wins, I just couldn't get away from what the Bengals did and also what the Raiders did.
Hmm. Yeah, I was probably just talking about with how many trades he had. Did you like the trade for Trent Williams or no?
That makes sense, especially when it came out. I like how they just slowly
put it
out there. By the way, Joe Taylor retired.
Right.
So it made sense when they made the move. So definitely it looks genius now because at first you're like, man, well, are they going to put him on the right side? But I thought McGlinchey did a great job last year. Then, oh, yeah, by the way, Staley retired. So moving on to the next thing. You know, that's how they kind of handle it during the draft. But it makes sense to go and get Trent Williams. Now, you hope that, you know, whatever he you hope that he can get back to playing football because it's hard to go from not playing ball to playing ball at that level at least after taking a year off. You know, so you hope that he still has the same, you know, skill set and football shape, especially going from a year where you didn't play to now this uncertain era of the coronavirus that we're in. We don't know when we're going to get back out there on the field. So I just hope they're getting the Trent Williams we saw before he didn't play last season.
Who are a couple teams that were head-scratchers in what they did?
Oh, man. You know, one move in particular just didn't make sense to me. And it happened in the first round. And it was the Chargers taking Justin Herbert. I didn't understand that move for Los Angeles because, you know, when you look at what Herbert did at Oregon, and you look at how the Eagles were able to get Jalen Hurts in the second round, but what did Justin Herbert do better than Jalen Hurts outside of just being tall? You know, like there was no reason I thought, especially for a team like Los Angeles that needed tackle help and you had a chance to get a tackle, considering where some of the top guys fell in that draft, like Jedrick Wills and, you know, Mekhi Becton, you took the quarterback when you could have got the better quarterback in round two. Then you trade back up into the first round and take Kenneth Murray. Now, I don't have a problem with Kenneth Murray. He's my number one inside linebacker, but I just thought the pick of Herbert was forced because he may not even beat out what they have on the roster already in Tyrod Taylor. And it's going to look bad for them if they go out there in the preseason and you see Easton Stick outplaying your number six overall pick. So that one was a real head scratch to me because I thought they missed an opportunity to get a premier tackle, which was something that they desperately needed to upgrade that offensive line.
Talking to Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan, evaluating the NFL draft over the weekend. Emory, we just talked to Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans. He really singled out Chris Jackson as a pick that he really liked late in the draft. I see that you really like Chris Jackson as well.
Yeah, I was at the game. It's funny how things work out. I went to the Marshall, Louisiana Tech game in my scouting travels, and I went there specifically to watch the quarterback, Jamar Smith, from Louisiana Tech, who the Patriots ended up signing as a free agent. When I got there, I found out that he was suspended for that game for violating the team rule. So I'm like, man, I was all the way out here in Huntington, West Virginia, to see one specific guy, because I knew all about Amik Robertson. I saw him play a lot. I saw his high school tape and saw him play a lot. So I was more interested in seeing how the quarterback plays. But in that game, I came away impressed with how, you know, Jackson was just out there just balling out. And what I like about Coach Doc Holliday is that he still has strong ties to the state of Florida. So he's getting a lot of guys coming from Florida to go up to Huntington, West Virginia, and they're balling out. And so what I like about Jackson's game is that he can play, you know, any part of the, you know, cornerback position you need him to play, boundary, field, slot. He has good athleticism. He has the tenacity, so he competes well. And as long as you're out there competing well at that position, considering how much of it is you know, play-by-play, you may have a great rep on one play. The next play you're getting burned for a touchdown. I just like how he competes, and I think that's going to take him far at the next level. He's going to easily be a core special teamer, in my opinion.
One of the things that we were watching for late in the draft, Juwan Jennings gets picked for Tennessee. A couple of very good players for Vanderbilt, hoping to get picked, did not, in Kalijah Lipscomb and Jared Pinkney. But meanwhile, Tennessee State had a young man that got picked, and he's a guy you did a lot of research on. Tell us about him.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was interesting, man. I want to say going back to maybe 2013, there has been a Tennessee State offensive lineman that has gotten either drafted or signed as a free agent. So I can't remember the coach's name, the position coach's name, but he does a fantastic job of developing talent at Tennessee State along the offensive line. You're talking about Lakavia Simmons. Now, I was at the College Gridiron Showcase and saw him down there compete well against FBS opponents and, going toe-to-toe with them in one-on-one drills. He is a great athlete, number one. He has really good hands as well. He moves like a tight end. That's how fluid his footwork is and how good he is as an athlete. And I think this was a guy that he was the only HBCU player that got taken in the draft over the tackle that was at the Senior Bowl in Alex Taylor. So that speaks volumes of what the Titans, the Bears saw in him when they drafted him. And so I think he has a chance to play either guard or tackle, but the athleticism and the consistency of that athleticism play in, play out. And, you know, knowing he got coached really well at Tennessee State, that speaks volumes to his play, playing in the small All-Star game, the first All-Star game of the, you know, of the scouting calendar, and still find himself getting drafted in the 2020 draft speaks volumes of what he does and also the coaching that he got at Tennessee State.
Staying on offensive linemen, we had a varying degree of evaluations the day after the Isaiah Wilson pick by the Titans on day one. I see that you did your homework on him like everybody. Give us your thoughts. You appear to be pretty optimistic that he can be a very good player for them.
Yeah, in our draft guide, which is at footballgameplan.com/2020draftguide, we graded him as an 80, which is a solid starter, and he was our 10th offensive tackle. So we saw the upside. He reminds me a lot of the late Orlando Brown and how he dominates in the run game. He's only a redshirt sophomore, so you like that he still has upside. So when I say that, you're talking about 6'7", 340, and putting him in a pro strength and conditioning and nutritional program. So he's going to transform that 340 into an NFL 340, which is going to make him look like he's 280. You know, so he's going to continue to have that girth, that size, that strength. He needs a little bit of technical work in the in pass pro, and that's going to help him out if he gets the coaching that he should get at you know, with the Titans. But I thought, you know, when you're talking about upside and strength and how he's able to redirect defenders, like if he gets his hands on you, you know, guys, you know, go to the ground. It's just not like he just, you know, pushes guys off and has to continue to fight. It's like, now he redirects you into the turf. And so you like the core strength, and I think on the right side, I see where the Titans were going with this. His power step is great. His down blocking is great. He's going to be a tremendous run blocker right out the gate, and they're going to continue to work with him to develop him into a pass protector. But right now, he's probably going to be a right side road grader on, you know, on the offensive line. I like the pick. I had a probably higher grade on him than most draft pundits, but I see why they went that way with him. You get upside, you get core strength, you get, you know, grown man strength, and you get someone that you can still transform, you know, his body to make him an even better pro.
Talking to Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan. I want to ask you about a kid that I had a chance to talk to yesterday, a local product. Jacob Phillips, of course, went to LSU, gets taken in the third round by Cleveland. What are some of your thoughts on him?
Well, he plays with really good pad level and leverage, and he does a solid job of making tackles. When you watch LSU play, it's like you're watching someone that, man, okay, he made a good play. That's a good decision. That's a great play. And it's just, he's just a solid player. And I think he gets, you know, really good run fits. He sets a hard edge when they ask him to play on the outside. So he's a good athlete, and, you know, he's not awkward in zone. But I think outside of him getting, you know, good run fits, he has to do a better job of taking on blocks. And so I think that's an area where he's going to have to be a little bit better. But he's an inside backer. We graded him out as an inside backer. And I think him being able to drop back and cover well in zone is going to help his chances staying on the field all three downs.
We knew the Titans would address the running back position at some point. They did that in the third round. Darrington Evans of Appalachian State, what do you see out of him that's going to be able to help the Titans as a complementary back to Derrick Henry?
Well, his eyes and his feet are always in unison. And, you know, because of that, he's able to work one level ahead from a vision standpoint. So he's seeing things clearly, and he's able to get there. A lot of times guys see it, but the way their athleticism is set up, they can't get there. But for him, he can see it and also get there. And he's able to make himself skinny. And it helps that he's about 195. So it's easy for him to make himself skinny in that regard and has, you know, really good elusivity to make a guy miss. So he's kind of like Deion Lewis in that regard, able to make a guy miss. But I just want to see him get a little bit more physical upon contact, and he's obviously going to have to improve in pass pro. That's something that a lot of backs have to improve when they get into the league.
What's the secret to making yourself look skinny, in your opinion?
it's funny because I was a former college running back, and I can best describe it this way. It's almost like you see yourself getting skinny, and so you kind of tense up to where you try to pull your shoulders in closer and try to, like, slip through something where almost you want to turn yourself sideways. But in your mind, you think, okay, I'm really getting skinny. I'm slimming up. But outside, you just really kind of, like, tense up a little bit and try to quickly burst through a hole or a small sliver of space where it makes the illusion that you got skinny through a hole. But really, your body stays the same. You just tense up and try to, you know, really explode and dart through an area pretty quickly.
Chase, I know you're going to wrap it up asking him about the quarterback the Titans took.
Yeah, Cole McDonald taken in the seventh round out of Hawaii. Do you feel like that he's in a position now to compete to be a backup, or what did you make about that pick by the Titans?
Yeah, I was hoping the Titans took a quarterback because I think they have a space for a backup, and Cole McDonald reminds me a lot of Derek Carr and how he plays. And I was a Derek Carr fan when he came out of Fresno State. When you look at Cole McDonald, no one play affects him. And I like that. It's almost like you wonder, like, man, it's when you think of the Forrest Gump and when Jenny asks him, are you stupid or something? When it's just you like how he just – one play does not affect him the next play. He has that mentality, and that type of mentality that you can carry throughout the game and makes a confident player. And, you know, he has all the requisite skills of touch, timing, anticipation. He's an athlete. and he has upside. You know, his touch sometimes, like, it doesn't matter if it's a bang eight or a deep post or a screen. The ball is coming out 100 miles an hour, and it could ricochet at times, you know, off a back or off a receiver. So he has to work on his touch. And sometimes, right here in my notes, his passing chart resembles that of shots taken in basketball. Like, it, a lot of times it can be all over the place. So I think that's tied to his mechanics. And so if he can work on that, smooth those things out, he can, you know, he can be a better pro, continue to grow as a pro. But I like the raw talent, which is why they took him in round seven, because he does a lot of things that Ryan Tannehill does. You just have to smooth out the rawness of his game, and therefore you'll have a good prospect moving forward.
All right, last thing real quick. You brought up – you went there for the Louisiana Tech-Marshall game and more about Louisiana Tech, and that's when you watch, obviously, Chris Jackson for Marshall. But I did want to ask you quickly, because we had Derek Mason on, Vanderbilt's football coach, on Friday's show, and he's hired Todd Fitch as his new OC. Well, you got a chance to see Louisiana Tech and that offense. You were there, I think you said, for the quarterback. What do you think Vanderbilt has in a Todd Fitch, who spent, I think, 4 years there as the OC?
They have a good pro spread offense coming to Vanderbilt, because not only did they spread you out, there's two receivers that are really good at Louisiana Tech, Malik Stanley, and I forget the other guy's name who's there, who's going to be a prospect in the 2021 draft. But you saw them work out the shotgun, out of pistol, but also really dominate teams up front running the football. So you're going to get a pro spread attack, and the running back we're going to be talking about next year from Louisiana Tech also. And when you look at Vanderbilt getting their OC, you're going to see them spread the field, try to isolate a little bit, but really focus on running the football. They're going to reduce that box and really bludgeon you to death up front. And then when you try to load the box, they're going to have a guy that can really just take the shots that are there and in the intermediate level and work the passing game. And so it's going to be a spread the field to run the ball. I'm excited to see how that looks with SEC talent.
Hmm. So are we. That's why I ask. Good stuff, Emory. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. You have a great week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, that is Emory Hunt. Football Game Plan is where you can find his work, and he does a really good job. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.